First Missionary Journey of Paul, Chapter 108. The large city of Antioch lay far to the north of the cities of Tyre and Sidon. In those days Antioch was a metropolis or chief city. The large caravan route to the Orient began there. It was the third city of the extensive Roman Empire, which is to say, only two cities were larger than Antioch. Antioch did not lie exactly on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, but a little inland. The seaport of Seleucia lay on the shore, making this a suburb of Antioch. You must study the map, and then you can see it. Many Jews lived in Antioch. They had a large synagogue there. When the congregation at Jerusalem was scattered, some of these Christians came from Jerusalem to Antioch. There they preached the Lord Jesus. Read what is recorded in Acts 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So a flourishing Christian congregation also came into being in Antioch. The apostles at Jerusalem heard this, and they sent Barnabas to this new congregation. Barnabas went on the journey and arrived safely at Antioch. He immediately preached the gospel there, and the Lord blessed this preaching, for many more were converted by the Lord. This made the congregation at Antioch too large for him to care for alone. He could not accomplish all the work by himself. Therefore, he decided to go for help. Do you know what he did? He left this large city for a while and traveled to Tarsus. Why just to this city? Who among you still know who was born in Tarsus? Come now, say it. Wasn't Saul born there? You know of Saul, the persecutor of the church at Jerusalem, who was converted by the Lord on the way to Damascus. We told you about that in chapter 103. At the end of that chapter, you can read that Saul, who we will call Paul in the future, fled from Damascus to Jerusalem. Didn't they let him go down in a basket outside the wall? However, they of Jerusalem did not believe that this terrible persecutor was converted. They did not dare accept him in their midst. But Barnabas took Paul and brought him in contact with the apostles. Paul was admitted into their midst. The unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem wanted to kill Paul, for Paul preached boldly in the name of Jesus. He tried to convince the Grecian Jews that Jesus of Nazareth was really the Messiah, but they would not believe. Instead, they tried to kill Paul. However, the brethren, probably the apostles, heard that the Grecian Jews wanted to murder Paul. Therefore, they warned this courageous preacher and took him away to Caesarea. From there, he traveled alone and went to his birthplace, Tarsus. This place is also on the map. Look it up. Because Barnabas knew that Paul was in Tarsus, he went to this city to find him. He soon found him, and together they traveled to Antioch. From that time, Paul helped Barnabas in the congregation at Antioch, for there was plenty to do. When a famine broke out in the land of Canaan, the congregation at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem with money to be used by the apostles at Jerusalem for the relief of the poor. Because these two ministers could not be missed for any length of time in the large congregation at Antioch, and they returned immediately. The church at Antioch continued to grow, and the Lord governed it so that more ministers came and a few prophets too. This is a very difficult portion, boys and girls, but I had to tell you it first. I hope that you have understood what the circumstances were in the congregation at Antioch. Try to keep it in your memory. Do you hear? One day, three men leave the large city of Antioch and walk on the road leading to Seleucia, the suburb town of Antioch. Who are they? Look good. You know these men very well. The one is Barnabas, who has been active for a considerable time in Antioch. The second is Paul, who has helped Barnabas faithfully. The third is Mark, the nephew of Barnabas. Wasn't the mother of Mark Mary, where Peter went after the angel delivered him out of prison? Why do these three men leave Antioch? Where are they going, and what are they going to do? Listen. The Holy Ghost has called Paul and Barnabas for a very special work. They must go into the heathen world and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. They are appointed by God to perform the work of missionaries. Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, travels with them to help them with their work. That is why they leave Antioch and begin to travel. That is very well, but where must they go? The land of the Gentiles is so large. Do you know what? Barnabas proposes, let us go first to the Isle of Cyprus. Barnabas was born on this island. Paul and Mark do not object to this proposal. They begin their first missionary journey full of courage. Come, boys and girls, let us also travel with them and see all the things which will happen on this trip. Now my advice to you is to continually refer to the map. All the places are on it. You can follow exactly how they journeyed by following the arrowed lines which are on the map. From Antioch, they go first to the seaport of Seleucia. A ship is lying ready in the harbor. They board ship and sail to the island of Cyprus. After a prosperous journey, they came to the port of Salamis. Look it up. A synagogue of the Jews is in Salamis, and the missionaries preach the Lord Jesus in this synagogue. We do not know how long they were there, but after some time they leave Salamis and travel by foot straight across the island of Cyprus to the city of Paphos, which lies on the other end of Cyprus. A Roman deputy lives in Paphos. His name is Sergius Paulus. This deputy hears that three missionaries have come into the city, and he wishes to know what these men have to say. Therefore, he requests Paul and Barnabas to come to him so that he may hear the word of the Lord. With great boldness, Paul and Barnabas preach the gospel to this heathen deputy. They preach to him the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came to save lost sinners. These words make a deep impression upon Sergius Paulus. But look over there. A man is standing close to the deputy with a dissatisfied look upon his face. His eyes glitter maliciously, and a mocking grin curls upon his lips. When he sees that the deputy listens seriously to the words of Paul and Barnabas and believes this preaching, he suddenly says scornfully, "Deputy, you must not believe these strangers, for they are deceiving you. This Jesus, about whom they are talking, is not the Son of God, for he was the son of a common carpenter out of that despised Nazareth. These men are only trying to make you believe something. Isn't that awful? Who is this fellow? He is a Jew, a sorcerer, a false prophet. Elymas is his name. This Elymas had great influence over the deputy Sergius Paulus. Probably he earned much money there. The deputy believed him wholeheartedly. But now that Paul and Barnabas have come, and they proclaim to him the gospel, respect and esteem for the word of the Lord enter deeply into the heart of this deputy. He feels that what these men are saying is the truth. Elymas the sorcerer notices this. That startles him. No, that may not happen, for then he will lose his influence. The deputy will not do as he says anymore if he believes those words. For that reason, he tries to ridicule the words of Paul and Barnabas. He tries to keep Sergius Paulus from believing. Satan spurs him on to vilify this Jesus of Nazareth. The deputy hears these scornful words of Elymas, and doubt begins to rise in his heart. Could it be true what Elymas is telling him? Are these men trying to deceive him? He looks at these strangers questioningly and searchingly. Paul realizes the strife which is being fought in the heart of this heathen deputy. It is a battle between truth and the lie. Oh, a prayer arises from Paul's soul to God on high for help. Will the devil be victorious? This groan which is sent above is heard. A heavenly joy descends into the heart of Paul. He is filled with the Holy Ghost. The prince of darkness shall not win. He looks at Elymas piercingly with an indignant look in his eyes. O, you child of the devil, he says sternly, you are full of subtlety and all mischief. You try to make crooked the right ways of the Lord. But the Lord will punish you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. The Roman deputy looks at Paul in astonishment. He then casts his glance at Elymas, and, sure enough, he already sees it. What Paul says happens. The Jewish sorcerer stretches forth his hands, and by feeling tries to find the way to the door. The deceitful Jew became blind. We read in God's word, immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. He must be taken by the hand and guided. This is a severe punishment for him. Still, this judgment is deserved. This event made a powerful impression upon Sergius Paulus. Now he notices in a special way that Elymas is the deceiver and not Paul and Barnabas. The doubt disappears from his heart, and read what the Bible tells us. Then he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The devil lost this battle. Jesus, the Prince of Life, showed that he is mightier than the Prince of Darkness. You can be sure that these missionaries were happy. This gave them courage and strength to go forward. A ship is slowly approaching the coast of Asia Minor. The city of Perga lies in the distance. Look it up on the map. Three men are standing on the forward deck of the ship. You know who they are, don't you? Of course you do. They are Paul, Barnabas, and Mark. They did not remain in the city of Paphos on the island of Cyprus. They went on board a ship which will bring them to Perga. You can be sure that the leave-taking of Sergius Paulus was hearty and sincere. Now Paul and Barnabas are looking at the land which lies before them. They will soon step ashore and travel further. What is awaiting them, they do not know. But they are full of good courage. They are confident that the Lord will go with them. Cheerfully they travel into the unknown future and dangers. These two men do not fear. Don't they fear? Oh, no. But the third man, who is standing there, does not agree. Mark, the helper of Paul and Barnabas, is also looking at this faraway strange land, but he is afraid. Traveling is so dangerous. Their work is so very dangerous, too. Will the heathens of the cities to which they plan to travel harm them? Won't they be attacked by robbers in the lonesome places on the roads? It is so unsafe there. Mark shudders from this thought. Will he ever see his mother again? His mother? She is so far from him. She is safe in Jerusalem, and he is here bobbing up and down upon the waves of the Mediterranean Sea, going into an unknown future, a future which is full of threatening dangers. No, Mark is not cheerful. He is afraid. He is longing to return to Jerusalem. All at once, he has an intense desire to see his mother. Do you know what? He will not go further. He decides to return as soon as they arrive at Perga. A little while later, the ship cast anchor at Perga. The three men upon the forecastle step upon the shore. Mark then makes the remark that he would like to return to Jerusalem. We know from a later story that Paul was not in favor of this. He does not think it nice of Mark that he will now leave and forsake them. But Mark will have his way, and it seems as if Barnabas didn't have much to say about it. You must consider, Mark is a relative of Barnabas. Mark returns to Jerusalem while only the two, Paul and Barnabas, proceed with their work. Do you think Mark had peace of mind with that?